morning, Living Faith. The people we are looking for is you. Your mission, if you accept it, is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and make disciples. Our mission as a church is to help you in your mission. And as always, should you ever or any one of your fellow disciples be killed, Jesus will reward you greatly and will acknowledge you before the Father. The word in this book, the Bible, will never pass away or self-destruct. We are called to be on a mission for God. We are on a mission. We've been given our call, but with any call, with any mission, you have to begin with a foundation. As those that have been in the military know, you don't just join the military and all of a sudden go off and do your mission. You have to go through training. You have to go through boot camp. You have to go through specialized training. You don't just go immediately. You're not ready. A few years ago, Beth and I were building on to our house. We were building going to end up being a four-season room. And we had hired a contractor that we thought we could trust. And believe me, it ended up being a disaster. Because one of the first things that happened was he hired somebody to put a foundation in. And as they put the foundation in, it was crooked. That's the first thing I noticed. The next thing I noticed the next day is that the foundation had blown out. A side of it had blown out. So they had to do some work. They had to rebuild that foundation. Because, see, the most important part of a house is the foundation. Without the foundation, the house will fall down. So what foundation are we going to build Living Faith upon? What foundation is your house going to be built upon? And for me, and for us as a church, I think the foundation, we need to go back to Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5. I'm going to ask that you stand as we read this. This is what the Jewish people would call the Shehema, the hearing. It was extremely important. It was the foundation for the Jews. So Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4 and going to verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Father, we just praise you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would write it on our hearts. Help us, Lord, to take it and for it to be our foundation. Amen. You may be seated. There is this oneness in the foundation of God. Now, some people have argued that this verse here contradicts the whole idea of the Trinity. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about is that God is not divided within himself. I know you, like I have known people who will tell you one thing and do another. That they will act one way here and can be completely not that person that they said they were. But God is not like that. God is complete. He is whole within himself. Within the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is a oneness. They are of one mind. And we see that all through Scripture. So God is not divided. See, God has revealed himself to us and remains true to that revealing at all times. God does not change. These are foundations. God does not change. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who what? Does not change like the shifting shadows. We can rely on him. He will not change. We also know that he will not forsake us. Back in Deuteronomy in chapter 31, verse 8, says the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. See, God will never turn on us. If you understand what the Israelites were dealing with, and also what was being dealt with in the New Testament, the gods of the Canaanites were not gods that could be trusted. They had to be pacified. If enough things were sacrificed to them, including their own children, then the gods would be pacified. And then they would be happy with you and you would be blessed. That's not our God. He doesn't turn on us. And God never reveals himself to one person one way and to another person a different way. See, some people want us to believe that God has revealed himself through Buddha, or that he has revealed himself through Allah. No. He has not. He has revealed himself in one way and one way only, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the only way that God has revealed himself to us in the flesh. Not through Buddha, not through Muhammad. John 14:6, Jesus himself says it. He says, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. Jesus is the revealing of God to us in flesh. He alone is a faithful God, and he alone is the one we are to love. But how do we do that? How do we love God? The Shekhinah, the foundation of it is in here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. If God is one and we can trust him and we are to love him, we are to love him with what? All of our heart. See, it's not a partial love. It's not a rainy day love. It is with all of our heart. Our hearts are to be fully and completely devoted to God. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. If we learn, if we understand, if knowledge comes from God, that knowledge, the purpose of that knowledge is so that we can keep it, keep the law of God and obey him with everything we have in our hearts. Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah 29:13, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. See, the heart for the Jews especially was the seat of their emotions. This is where the emotions come from. We need to be emotionally attached to God. The danger is there are things in this world and things in our life that pull our hearts away constantly. We don't have any little statues that we're giving our hearts to, but we have other things. We have other things that pull us away. Whether it's jobs, whether it's possessions, whether it's money. But God wants our full heart. He doesn't want to share us with anybody. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share. But this whole idea of being emotionally attached to God, it draws us into this relationship with God. It connects us with him. Unfortunately, sometimes we have a tendency to profess our love for God, but our hearts are someplace else. We are not fully devoted to God with all of our heart. And it shows. There have been times in my life when I've looked back and I'm like, why did that happen? Why did I do that? How stupid could I be to do something like that? And if I really look at my spirit, I know that my heart was not fully devoted to God. My heart was devoted partially to God. And then other times, the rest of it was devoted to something else. Or there are times where my heart wasn't even to God. My heart was to me and my things. See, the thing is, when we are fully and totally devoted to God with all of our hearts, we have to give up some other things. I call it planned neglect. There was a concert violinist in New York's Carnegie Hall, and somebody came up and said, how did you become so skilled at the violin? And she says it was by neglecting things, by planning to neglect some things. She planned to neglect everything that was not related to her goal. That is being wholehearted. And there are some things we need to neglect. We need to neglect our pride. Proverbs 29:23 says, pride becomes a person's law, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Our pride becomes our law. Our pride drives us. Now, you know, there is nothing wrong with being proud of what your child has done or proud of what you've done. That's fine. It's good to be proud of the work that you do. The problem is when you start doing things to get that pride, when you start feeding that pride, it becomes what drives you. It can't. We need to be lowly. We need to be humble. We need to neglect our own desires. Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, forgetting what is behind. This is Paul speaking. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I talked about Paul last week. There are things that Paul could have been and should have been, but Paul gave them all up for Jesus Christ. There are things that we need to eliminate from our lives because they draw us from God. It doesn't mean that we have to give up everything. I'm not talking about becoming monks in a monastery and giving up everything we have for God. I mean, I'm not saying that God won't call you to that. What I am saying is we each have to look at our lives and say, what is it that I desire more than I desire God? And sometimes we have to neglect our very lives. God will call us to a place, as he does many people, where our lives are in danger. And we have to willingly go. Because that's what he's calling us to. But we have to do it with all of our hearts. So that's the first thing. That's the first way we love God. We love God with all of our hearts. The second way is with all of our souls. See, the heart is the emotional love. The soul is a life of love. Love gives life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that love gives life? All you have to do is ask somebody like Ross and Betty. The love they have for each other has brought them through life. But even more so than that, the love that Jesus Christ has for us has given us life. The sacrifice he made has given us life. Now, I know many of you have probably heard the term soulmate. I'm sure Ross and Betty feel they have their soulmate. And they do. 55 years of marriage. They found that they've got their soulmate. But that is more than just an emotional feeling. It's not just the heart. It's the soul. It's the very life that you draw from that person. It's a relationship that gives life. That's what this all with your soul is about. One of my favorite verses in Psalms 41, 1 through 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Does your soul thirst for God? Do you really feel it down deep inside? I need God. I want to spend time with God. I want to see God. I want to feel God. I want to hear God. I got to have God. It's that feeling of I can't survive. I can't live without him. Other relationships may come and go, but your relationship with God is what matters most. Now, I know as I've lived through my life, there are times in my life, and I know every one of us could probably profess to this, there are many times in our life where we feel, I'm not there yet. I don't feel that I need God that much. I don't feel that I've got the relationship I need to have with God. I'm almost there. Sometimes it's two steps forward and three steps back. I'm getting close. I know I need to love God. I need to be with him. I need to experience him. I just have these other things I want to do first. Or I just don't know if I can do it. I can't commit to it. See, the problem is we're not going to wake up some morning and say, whoop, I'm there. Magically, I'm there. I've reached that spot. I'll tell you that every single person who we would look at as a great person in their faith and in their relationship with God will tell you there are always times when they don't feel like they're there. That they don't measure up. But it's not going to magically happen without us actually doing something. We need to take the time and we need to be familiar and we need to build the kind of relationship that we need to have. Ask any person here who's been married for a long time. Their marriage is not where it is today just because they were just together and woke up every morning together and went to bed every night together. Their marriage is the way it is because they spent time together. They got to know each other. They cared for each other. They sacrificed for each other. They talked. They experienced life together. It's not just because we were together. It was because we were intentionally doing things to build our relationship. There's a soul connection that takes more time than a heart connection. Beth and I have been cleaning out our house, and Beth has diaries from her high school days. Guess who read her diaries? She let me, and I'm glad she did. It's interesting to read it because that's a part of life that her life that I didn't know about, that I haven't experienced. I wasn't there. But I know some of the stories. I know some of a boy that she dated for a long time. And what she writes about, and I've asked her if it's okay if I say this, so don't worry. She knows. One of a young man that she actually was dating for quite a long time, she would write things about him, and as I'm looking at them and I'm reading them, I'm not upset, I'm not getting jealous, and I'm just like, that's superficial. That's not soul love. It's heart love, it's emotional, but it's not that deep soul love. And I'm like, why is that? Why is the fact that she thinks he is the one, yet what she writes about him is just superficial? And she starts to discover that he's not what she thinks he is as she gets to know him. And that's the problem. See, heart love is, and we kind of confuse this, but heart love is just this surface. It's the beginning. But soul love is that deeper longing, that deeper relationship. I'm glad she never found that with him. Because she has with me. All of your soul. And then Deuteronomy says, with all of your might. Now, your strength, you know, your physical things, you know, you sell out everything for God. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm doing things. That's not what it's talking about. It's this single-minded, love-inspiring zeal and determination to realize the whole will of God. Trouble. When you go through a death, when you go through things that are going to try your relationship, that's when you discover how strong you are. And that's when we discover how strong our relationship is with God, is when we go through some times that are bad. Man, the good times are easy. It's the bad times that are tough. And there will be bad times in your relationship with God and in this world. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things, what? So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Any married couple will tell you, falling in love is not easy. Well, that's not true. Falling in love is easy, staying in love is not. Falling into that soul love is not easy. Staying in love takes time. It takes attention. And you know what? It takes a little stubbornness on both people's parts. Because to love God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your might, you have to be willing to fight. And it takes strength to fight. This is the first part of our mission. This is our mission statement. Our mission statement is to love God, love family, and to make disciples. That's what we're here for. Today we're going to talk, we're talking about loving God. Next week we're going to talk about what it means to love not just family, but family and family. So how are we going to do this? How can we as a church help you to have a love, kind of love of God that we're talking about here in Deuteronomy? A love that is all heart, all soul, and all might. See, we grow in our love for each other by talking, by spending time together. We grow in our love of God by reading His Word. That's the first thing we do. Is by reading His Word. So how is the church going to help you with that? First of all, sermons are going to be based upon Scripture. No doubt about it. I'm excited to get through these next 8 weeks because we're going to get into 1 John. We're going to go through 1 John verse by verse. Not every Sunday of one verse. That'll take us forever. But in sections, we're going to talk about the verses. We're going to talk about what John was teaching. We also do that. We stay in the Word by being involved in Sunday morning Bible studies. I encourage you to please get up in time to come to the Sunday morning Bible studies. They will be Bible-based. We're going to talk about Scripture. Discipleship groups. I'm in the process of beginning those where we get together as very small, 2 and 3 people, and we actually study the Bible. We read the Bible, and then we get together and we talk about, well, what does this mean to you? What is God telling you? And then small groups that spend the time fellowshipping and then reading Scripture. We need to spend time in Scripture. If you don't know what to read, come to me. I'll talk to you about what you should, well, I will give you suggestions of what you should be reading. Where to start. Tell me about what's going on in your life. I'll give you some verses that will help you understand what's going on in your life. We need to be in the Bible. This is one way that God reveals Himself to us. So we grow in our love with God by reading Scripture. We also grow in our love for God by spending time with others who know Him well. People who have been believers for a long time. That means that there are some people in this church that have known Jesus a long time. And we need to spend time with them. We need to get to know them. They need to share their stories of when God stepped into their lives and share with us the amazing stories they have of their love for Christ and what He's done. We do that in discipleship groups. We do that in Sunday morning Bible studies. We do that in small groups. We're going to be starting a Wednesday night service. I don't have it all planned out yet, but probably in August, we'll be doing a Wednesday night service. And believe it or not, we do it by reaching out into the community and doing things together in the community. So, by reading our Scripture, by reading the Bible, studying the Bible, we grow in our love for God. We grow in our love for God by spending time with Him. We grow in our love for God by turning to Him in prayer. We need to make prayer a priority in everything that we do. Not just here at the church, but in our private lives. We need to be in this constant communication with God. We have a Monday morning prayer group that meets, who gets together and we pray about the things that are going on in people's lives in the church, and we spend time praying for them. We're going to have some prayer initiatives. We're going to have some prayer services. If you need prayer, you can call the office and leave a message and we'll get it on the prayer line. You can go to the website and you can type in what your prayer request is and it'll get to the prayer chain or it'll get to the group on Monday. We'll have special prayer services. I'm planning one for maybe in June. Have a prayer service on a Wednesday night. We need to be praying. We need to be talking to God. We also grow in our love for God by listening to his still small voice. If I'm in a room and I hear a child, I know that it's my child. I can decipher whose child it is. That's my child that I'm hearing because I'm familiar with his voice. In my life, sometimes there have been moments when I thought, where are you, God? And you know what I found? I stopped listening to his voice. He's still talking to me, but I've stopped listening to his voice. We need to be able to stop and listen to his voice. We do that by being involved in discipleship groups and in Bible studies. We do that by spending time with others who know how to listen to his voice. We do that by sitting and just listening to God. By practicing the disciplines of listening and meditating on God. There are a lot of resources. I am a reader. I have access to so many resources. If you want to learn more about what it means to listen to God's voice, I can provide you whatever you need. I am open to walk with you through that. And we do that also by sharing experiences. If you have an experience, I want you to know, if you have an experience where God has touched your life and you were listening to him and you felt his presence, I want to know about it. I want to be able to share it with the congregation because there are people who have never experienced God. And I want them to know that it does happen. So share it with me. Lastly, we grow in our love for God when we do these things with others. Next week, I'm going to be talking about family. And I don't want those that are single or who don't have kids to think that that's all I'm going to talk about. No, I'm talking about sharing this with everybody. When we share these things with our spouses, there are times when I need to sit. There's some things I'm studying. I want to share with somebody. I'm going to go to Beth, and I'm going to share it with her. And sometimes the things I share with her, she looks at me and says, "What are you talking about?" Because there's some deep things that God reveals to us. And he'll reveal to you. But he wants you to share them. There are times I can sit with my kids and I can share things with them. Or they will come to me and share them with me. Caleb, the latest question Caleb has is, "Daddy," and he hasn't asked me this yet. Beth has told him to ask me, "When did God create hell?" Anybody know the answer to that one? I don't. Be honest with you. I can guess. So now I've got to study that. I want to see what the scripture say. So by spending time and using our time together to share what we're doing with our spouses, with our kids, with our family, with our neighbors, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we grow to love God. Those are the things that I think as a church we need to do. We need to spend time in Scripture. We need to make sure things are biblically based. We need to spend time praying to God. We need to spend time together, fellowshipping, sharing stories, sharing life together. That's our mission. That helps us to love God. There's a legend that's told about a wealthy merchant who is traveling through the Mediterranean, and he's trying to find the Apostle Paul. And he runs into Timothy and says, "Man, I want to meet your master. I want to meet Paul." So Paul was in prison, and Timothy arranged for this merchant to go in and see Paul. He was imprisoned in Rome. And the merchant stepped inside the cell, and he was surprised to find a very fragile, frail old man sitting there. But this old man had a serenity and a magnetism that challenged anybody who came to see him. And they talked for hours. It was finally time for the merchant to leave, and Paul blessed him. And outside the prison, the merchant who was concerned inquired of Timothy, "What is the secret of this man's power? I have never seen anything like it before." And Timothy says, "Well, did you guess? Come on, Paul's in love." And the merchant was kind of, what? He's in love. In love? Timothy says, yeah. Paul's in love. Paul's in love with Jesus Christ. And the merchant looked. He was even more bewildered by that. Is that all? And what does Timothy say? He says, that's everything. Being in love with Jesus Christ is everything. It needs to be our everything. That's my goal. That's my goal. My personal goal for me is that my love for Jesus Christ is everything. My goal for this church is to help you make your love for Jesus Christ everything. It's all that matters. We need to make it everything that it is. Will you pray with me? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise you, Father, that you are the God that doesn't just sit back and not care, but you are the God who loves us with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. Help us to love you, Father, with everything we have. Help us to be people who are passionate about your love for us and our love for you, so that it becomes everything that drives us to do things. Help us as a church, Father, to spur each other on. It's the purpose of the church, is to edify you, and in the process, lift each other up and edify each other, to help each other to become more and more like you every day. Father, we give you the praise and the glory that's due your name today. Help us, Father, to be loving. Help us to be people who can't help but praise you because of the love we have for you. And we cannot do it on our own, Father. It's all through you that it happens. We pray this name, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.